Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Ervin Ein Gimel. We're on Ein Beis, Amud Beis, all the way on the bottom line. Mayim Mokim Dira. The Gemara told us that if a person has a place of residence in a chatzar, a Mokim Dira, he needs to participate in the Erev. Now, what is considered to be a Mokim Dira? Suppose a person has two homes. A home in one chatzar where he eats, that's the place where he conducts his meals. Another home in a different chatzar where he sleeps, his place of lodging. So what is considered to be his primary place of residence, which will necessitate his participation in the Erev chatzeres of that chatzar? One can only live in one place. So what is considered to be his true place of residence? We have machlekes. My mokim dira. Rav amar mokim pita. The place of his bread. Pita means his bread. So where he eats. Ushmul amar mokim lina. The location where he sleeps. His place of lodging. So a person needs basically two things to keep him going physically. His food and his sleep. Rav says the mokim of the achila is the ikur mokim dira. And Shmuel maintains it is the place of lodging. Says the more mace favor of a kashma brisa on Rav. The brisa says haroyim shepherds vakayotzen, those who go to watch the figs while they're drying. Farber gunen, those who stay out in these huts to watch the city. Veshemir peiris, the fruit watchmen. So they stay all the way out there and they do their job. And then they come back home to the city to eat. So the question is regarding establishing their tchum. What is considered to be a true place of residence with regards to measuring the 2,000 am allowance? From where? What do we measure it from? Is it from their home back in the city, or from their current location where they spend their days? They go to watch the fruit. Says the Brisa, it depends. Bizman shadarkan lolin ba'ir, when they regularly go back into the city to go to sleep, harayhen kan shi'ir, then we give them the same status as the residents of the city. What happens there? The whole city is like just like 4 amas, and then 2,000 amas beyond the city, because these watchmen come back home to sleep. So that becomes their mokim dir. Bizman shadarkan lolin besada. However, if they sleep out in the field, and that is their place of lodging, yesh lehem alpayim am l'chol ruach, in that case, they're not regarded as the residents of the city. Rather, we measure the 2,000 allowance from their location out of the city, where they stand guard on the city or on the fruit. So what is this akasha to Rav? Because Rav maintains that the determinant factor when it comes to establishing the Mokim Dira is not where you sleep, rather where you eat. This price seems to indicate otherwise. It is their Mokim Lina, their place of lodging, which determines their location. Now the Gemara is comparing Erev Chatzeres to Erev Tumen. It's based on the same concept. Where is the person's place of residence? So just as we see in this price, when it comes to establishing the Tum, the mokim of sleeping is their ikur mokim dira. Likewise, when it comes to Erev Chatzeres, that should be the defining criterion. Says the Gemara, there it's Hasam Anan Sadi. In that case of the watchman, we're sure, Anan Sadi, we can testify. Di mamtul hu rifta hasam tfei nichlu. If there should be a practical way to have their bread brought over there, to have it delivered, to have their meals delivered to their location out in the field, certainly that would be preferred for them. Meaning, even though they happen to go home to eat, that's just circumstantial. So, in reality, their true Mokim Dira, their preferred Mokim Dira is really out in the field. That's where they sleep. And therefore, it's not a kasha on Rav. Again, the kasha was, we've seen this brisa, that if they sleep out in the field, that becomes their mokim dira, and their 2,000 amma allowance is counted as measured from there, despite the fact that they eat in the city. This seems to be inconsistent with Rav, who tells us that the location where a person eats is considered to be his Makam Dir. Says the Gemara, although practically speaking they have to eat in the city, it's just out of practical considerations. But ideally, they really want to have their meals out in the field where they sleep. So it doesn't really relate to the discussion between Rav and Shmuel, who are speaking about stomach. Let's say there's no real preference, there's no explicit preference, no reason to prefer one over the other. He has a home here, a home there, here he eats, here he sleeps. The question is, which one is considered to be the primary place of residence? But in a case where you spend your nights out in the field, then ideally you would like your meals out there, and it's just out of circumstance, you have to come back into the city to eat. Even Rav would agree that the true Makam Dira is out there where you sleep. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, Leishmiel Lehashmat, I never heard this halacha of Rav, who said the Makam Pita is Goyim. The location where one has his meals is considered to be his primary Makam Dira. Amar Le Abaye. So Abaye responded, we know that Rav Yosef forgot his learning, so he told him, At Amris Nilon, actually you taught us this halacha, in the name of Rav, Vaha Amris Nilon, and it was in the following context. The Mishnah said, this was our Mishnah, earlier in the Ayin Beis, Ha'achen Shoy Oichlin Al Shulchan Avin, we have these brothers who eat on their father's table, meaning they're supported by their father, they get their food from their father's home, V'shein and Batein, but they sleep separately, they each had their own home in the Chatzah. Each one needs to have an Erev. And we learned in the Mishnah, provided there are other people in the Chatzah which necessitate the Erev, etc. So we have a situation where they, although they're eating all together in their father's home, so it's one Makam of Achila. Nevertheless, since they have separate sleeping quarters, then they're treated as separate residents. And we told you, meaning us Talmidim, challenged you, asked you a kasha from this mission, Shema Mina, can we conclude from this, Mokim Lina Goyer, that the location of lodging is what determines and establishes the place of residence. So this would be a kasha on Rav. V'amrasalana Allah, and you told us that, not necessarily, you explained to us, Amar Rida Amar Rav, right, so we wanted to know whether there's a raya from here that Mokam Lina is Goyer. And you responded, no. You responded, Omar Vida Omar Rav, the name of Rav himself, B'Mekabli Pras Shanu, that actually, the case here was speaking where they weren't eating in their father's home. They were taking the food from their father's home and bringing it to their own private areas, the place where they sleep. So they're merely being supported by their father. So in this case, it won't be a kasha on Rav, because not only are they sleeping separately, but they have separate eating quarters as well. And therefore, we consider them to be separate residents, separate entities. So until now we discussed the case of a father and a son, and now the Braisa will enumerate several other cases. Tan Rabban, Mi sheyesh lo chamesh noshim bekabloi prasim balein. If one has five wives who have five separate homes in the chatzar, and they are mekabloi pras, meaning they're supported by their husband. Vachamisha avadim, or five servants, mekabloi prasim rabein, who are supported by their master. And again, they have separate sleeping quarters in the chatzar, but they are supported by their master who lives in the chatzar. Do we consider them as separate entities, or perhaps they are all batel and connected to their provider, and therefore we only have one resident in this chatzar and no erev is required? Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira mater benoshim. When it comes to noshim, ishte kegufay, a wife and a husband are one and the same entity, and we say she's batel to the husband, supported by the husband, she's batel to the husband, and therefore there's no need to make an erev. However, when it comes to servants, they don't have the same status, same connection, and although they're being supported by their master, who lives in the chatzar, they all regard as separate residents, and an erev is required. So according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, Noshim are connected, avadim are not. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, he says just the opposite. Matir ba'avadim, he says servants, a servant is totally subordinate to his master. He's meshubed. He's bound to his master. And therefore, he's mater b'avodim, so we have all these slaves, these servants living in the chatzar, they're considered to be connected to the master's household, and there's no need to make an erev. V'oiser b'nashim, however, when it comes to nashim who don't have that same shibud, like a servant, he considers them a separate entity, separate residence, and an erev is required. Amar Rav Mai, Taimu de Rav Yehuda ben Bava. What is the source of Rav Yehuda ben Bava who says that when it comes to servants, they're totally connected to their master, and says though they're actually living within the same home as their master? V'Daniel betra Malka. The pasuk is describing Daniel, who was a servant of the king, betra Malka. He's at the gate of the king. So Rashi says, "B'kol makam shehu, wherever he was, whether he was actually at the king's palace or home learning and eating, chashav le b'tra malka. We regard him as being at the gate of the king, at the king's palace, meaning that he's inherently connected to the king. A servant is connected to the master, and therefore wherever he is, even if he actually has another home in the chatzar, he's considered to be living together with the master." Tosfos brings Rabbi Chananel, who actually adds one more dimension here. He says that the Gemara is also bringing a remez for memory aid, to remember who said what. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Bava means a shar in Aramaic, a gate. He was the one who said that a servant is connected to the master. V'Daniel bitra malka. So bitra is shar, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Bava means a shar. He was the one who taught us this concept that a servant is connected to his master. Okay, so we have a husband and a wife. We have a servant to a master. Two shitas. Which one is connected? Which one is not? Continues the Gemara. Pshita. This is pretty clear. Bein etzel aviv kedamaran. We have a son living with his father and being supported by his father. What is the halacha there? As we said earlier, certainly he's considered to be connected. No erev is required, unless there are other people living in the chatzar, etc. Isha etzel bala, ve'eved etzel rabbi plukta. A husband with a wife living with her husband, an eved living with his master. We have this machlokes plukta, the ridum and b'seira, ridum and bava. What about talmud etzel rabbi mai? You have a student living with his rabbi in the chatzar. Under the same configuration, he's living in a different house, and he's being supported by the Rebbe. What is the halacha there? Toshma, let's bring it right. The Rav Bei Rabbi Chia Amar, when Rav was being supported by his Rebbe Rabbi Chia, he said, "Ein onu tzrichon la'arev. We don't need to make an erev. Sharei yonu soim chinal shulchana shor Rabbi Chia, because we are supported by Rabbi Chia." Likewise, Rabbi Chia by Rabbi Amar, when Rabbi Chia was learning by Rabbi Amar, he said, "Ein onu tzrichon la'arev. We don't need to make an erev. Sharei yonu soim chinal shulchana shor Rabbi, because we're being supported by Rabbi." So it's very clear that a Talmud has the same status as a Rebbe. We know that the Gemara elsewhere tells us that a Talmud and a Rebbe are similar in concept to a son and a father. So there's that similar connection, and they regard as one and the same household and resident in this chatzar. Okay, so in conclusion, a son and a father, a Talmud and a Rebbe have this halacha regarding husband and wife, serving the master, where machlekes. Continues the Gemara, bo mine abaye mi rabba. So Abaye asked Rabbi the following question. Chamisha shagova seiruva. There are five people who made an erev in a chatzim. Now they'd like to connect next door to the next chatzim. So generally they would take the bread that they collected and bring it next door, and that would connect the two chatziris. Kishamolichan eseiruva namokamacha. When they bring their erev material next door, Erev Echad LeKulam, is it enough that one of them represents them all? So one of the Erev members will take even his bread and bring it next door, and he's going to represent his entire group. Is that okay? Or it's Rich an Erev L'Echad L'Echad, or perhaps every member of that Erev group, of that Chatzar, needs to personally bring bread across the wall, because everybody has to connect to the Chatzar next door. We don't say that one could represent them all. It's enough that one represents them all. They don't all need to send their bread over. So Abaye asked him, "I have a kasha from our Mishnah. V'achin. But in this case of the brothers, who are residing with their father, supported by their father, and living in the same chatzar, in separate homes. We say, well, they are really like one entity, as if they made an eruv with each other, because the Mishnah clearly says if there's nobody else living in the chatzar, they don't need to make an eruv. So it's as though they're inherently connected, right? The chigavu domet, as though they made an eruv with each other. It's one unit, one entity. Uktani. Nevertheless, what does the Mishnah say? Tzrich an eruv k'lechad ve'echad. Each one needs to send his eruv. And the presumption here was that they're trying to connect. We're describing a case where they're trying to connect to the chatzar next door. And the Mishnah tells us, although they're really one single unit, all these brothers, but when they want to connect next door, each one has to send his own heir. So Rabbi told him, no. Hachem ayaskinan. The Mishnah is not describing making an heir with the chatzar next door. Hachem ayaskinan, always speaking about, kugoyin de'ika de'yurim bahadayu. There were other residents living in the chatzar with him. And they're trying to allow carrying in this chatzar. That's what the Mishnah is speaking about. And in that case, they all need to contribute to the Erev. We're not speaking about taking a organized group, a connected group, a group who made an Erev and trying to connect them next door. Rather, we're trying to establish an Erev within this chatzar itself. So you're right, if there's nobody else here, they don't need to make an Erev. But there are other people in this chatzar, they need to make an Erev in this chatzar. Why? There are other people living with them. Since the other residents of this chatzar make things asr, because they certainly don't belong in this household. So the brothers as well will make things asr, meaning it's only with regards to themselves that we consider them to be one single entity. Let's remember the two aspects here to the brothers. They're one, but they're really separate. Right? They're supported by their father, but they have separate quarters, separate homes. So it's ways to look at them. So as far as themselves, let's say there would be nobody else here, then they could relate themselves as one single entity because they're supported by their father. They're members of the same household. But since there are other members of the chatzar living with them, so they don't relate to the brothers, as one single entity. Rather, as far as they're concerned, they view them like separate residents, and therefore, all members of this chatzar, including the brothers, need to participate in the Erev Chatzeres. Hachinam Mestamer. Indeed, it seems pretty clear that this is the basis of this halacha. The Ketani, the Mishnah clearly says, a Masai, when is this Erev required? When they bring their Erev to a different location. Meaning there are other people in the chatzar here, and the Erev is required, and the Erev bread is actually not going to be placed in their father's home. Rather, it's going to be placed in a different home in the chatzar. Aval im hoya yiruvan ba'etzlam. However, if they were the host of the Erev, meaning the Erev is coming to their father's home, and they're connected to their father's home, it's as though they're all hosting the Erev. And we know that the person who hosts the Erev himself doesn't need to participate in the Erev. He's already living in that home. He doesn't need bread to bring him to that home. So if the Erev has arrived to their father's home, or alternatively, there's nobody else living in the chatzar to interfere with them, now we can treat them like one entity. Then they don't need to make an Erev. So it's pretty clear that this Mishnah is totally unconnected to our question. We had a question, if you have five people who made an Erev, and they want to connect to the chatzar next door, how are they meant to do so? Does everybody have to contribute, or could one represent them all? And the answer on that is, yeah, one can represent them all. Our Mishnah was speaking about the allowance to carry in this mavi, in this chatzar itself. That's a totally different story. So yeah, if there are other people living there who interfere, who create this necessity to make the Erev, then everybody has to contribute evenly. All the members of a chatzar have to contribute bread for the Erev. But let's say after they do this Erev properly, they want to go ahead and connect to the chatzar next door. Certainly in that case, one portion of bread is enough on behalf of all. One can represent them all because now they've already formed into one cohesive unit. And anybody in that unit can represent all the other members of that group. Continues the Gemara. going to go back to the question of Mokum Lina, Mokum Pita, what determines the true place of residence of a person? Boy minei Rav Chiya bar Abin, Rav Sheshes. So yes, Rav Sheshes, the following question. Bnei Bei Rav, the Bnei HaYeshiva, the Achli Nahama Babaga, who eat their bread, have their meals out in the valley. They have a host. You know, in Europe, they used to eat teg. Every day, the Yeshiva Baruch used to go to a different balabas to have his meals. So they would go to somebody's home to have their meals. So that was their mokim achila, mokim pita. V'osu baisi beirav. However, they would come back to the base medrash to sleep. So it would be food in one place, sleep in another location. The question is, what is their primary place of residence? Ki mashchinen lu tchum. So when it comes to measuring the tchum Shabbos, from where do we measure from? Mi beirav mashchinen lu. Do we measure it from the yeshiva where they sleep, or mi baga mashchinen lu, or from their place of meals? So what determines the makom dira with regards to tchumen? Is it the lodging or dining? Omar Lesi told him, Ashchinen Beirav. Certainly we measure the tchum from the yeshiva, which is the place of lodging. So he asked him, Vare noisin esei ruvoi b'sech apayimam. Let's stop, think for a second. When you place an Erev tchumen out in the field at the end of the 2000 Amah mark, that becomes your makom shvisa. I'm going to measure your 2,000 from there. Where are you sleeping? Not sleeping out in the open, you're sleeping back home. So why is it that we measure the tchum from your can of peanut butter sitting out in the open? If anything, that's just a mokum pita. It's not a mokum lina. And it comes back and sleeps at home. We measure the tchum from the makom of the air, from the location of the food. How is this consistent with what you just said? You just told me that when it comes to the Bnei Yeshiva, they eat over here and they sleep here. Where do we measure the tchum? From their lodging, from their yeshiva where they sleep. So why is it that when we come to measure the tchum, in a case where a person places the air of tchum down in the open, we measure it not from where he sleeps, rather from the food location? Amar Leisi told them, very simple. This is similar to what we said earlier. There's the concept of Anam Sadi. We can testify. We know, we understand where he really wants to sleep. Where he really wants us to consider which location is really considered to be the Malkaim of Dir, his true place of residence. See, it goes like this. We have two cases, the Bnei Yeshiva and the person who places the Erev Tchumen. In both cases, we have indication of where he really wants to reside. Piyahi Anan Sadi. In that case of the Erev Tchumen, we're sure that it's actually the place of his food which he considers his Makam Dira. Ubahadon Anan Sadi. And likewise in this case by us of the Bnei Yeshiva, we are certain that the yeshiva for them is considered to be their true Makam Dira. As he explains, Bahi Anan Sadi. In the case of the Erev Tchumen, where he places his food out in the field, we know with certainty that he wants to really, he would like to sleep out there. It's just practically not practical. But over there, we know if he would have a practical way of sleeping out in the field with his food, certainly he would want to sleep out there. Why? Because why is he placing the air? He's placing the air because tomorrow he knows he has to walk 2,000 amos. So certainly, if he would have the ability to sleep there, he would prefer sleeping there. So that becomes really the makom shvisa. So the practically sleeping at home, that's not an indication that the makom of the food is not his true place of residence. He's precluded from sleeping there just out of practical considerations. Ubahado, likewise, in the case of the Bnei Yeshiva, Anan Sadi. We can testify, we're sure, the Ma'iselu Riftel Beirav, if they would have the bread delivered to the yeshiva, to have free delivery of their meals, certainly that would be the preferred method. Practically speaking, they have to go to the host to have their meals. It's not their cheres to go pick up food and bring it to the yeshiva, so eat it at their host's home. But really, their true focus and mind and heart is really out in the yeshiva. That's a true makom shvis, the true makom dira. And therefore, the tchum is measured from there. So, again, when it's arbitrary, when it's unknown, he has a place where he sleeps, a place where he eats, and it's unknown which one is really the preferred location, then we have a machlekes. Rav says it's the makam pita, Shmuel says makam lina, which is considered to be true makam dir. But when there's any indication of preference, such as in the case of Ben Yeshiva, where he truly wants to be in the yeshiva, or in the place where a person placed the Erev Tchumen, where he really would like to sleep out there. Or earlier we had those cases of the shepherds, etc., where they're sleeping out in the field, and preferably they would have their food out there if they can handle it, if they can arrange it. So in all those cases, since we have explicit reason, explicit indication that he prefers one place over the other, all would agree. Rav and Shmuel both agree. There's no machlekes that indeed that location is considered to be the true place of residence. Continues the Gemara. Boy Rami Bar Chama Rav Chisda. So Rami Bar Chama asked Rav Chisda the following question. Avo Benoi Harav Talmidai. If you have, let's say you have a Mavi, and accessing this alleyway, you have two chatziris. You have one chatzir where a father lives, and next door in the chatzir lives a son. So one is occupied by the Av, one chatzir is occupied by the son. Harav Talmidai. You have a Rav in one chatzir, Talmidai in the next chatzir. Kirabim Domu. Do we say that these are considered to be like a multitude? Or Yechidim Domu? Or are they considered to be merely like individuals? So actually, sorry, in this first case, we're speaking about the father and son, or the Rebbe and the Talmud living in the same chatzir. As Rashi explains, that the question pertains to the following scenario. You have a chatzir lifnim chatzir. You have a chatzir inside the other chatzir. So the inside, the interior chatzir, needs to walk through the outer chatzir to get to Shusharab. The halacha is if the inner chatzir is occupied by people who haven't made an eruv with each other, then the fact that they walk through the outer chatzir makes it usher upon them, as we're going to see later, Bez Hashem and Daf Ayin Hei. So let's say in the inside chatzir, the chatzir primi, there's a father and son living there. The way we described it here, we have a father and son living in two homes, and the father supports the son, right? Similar to the discussion we had in the whole Gemara. So the question is, are they considered like Ravim, like two separate residents? And therefore, when they walk through the chatzir, the outer chatzir, they're due to the regular fact that they have pedestrian rights there, usage rights, it makes it usher upon them? Or do we say, kichid and damu, they're like one entity, since they don't need an eruv? And therefore, they don't interfere by walking through the outer chatzar. They're not going to make things us. Tzrich an erev, or ain't tzrich an erev? This is really one and the same question. Do they need to make an erev with each other to carry in their chatzar, or perhaps not? Because the father supports the son, etc. One more question. Mavi shalehen nitar b'lechi v'koira? Or ain't nitar b'lechi v'koira? Here is the question of the mavi that has two chatziris. One chatzar has a father, the other chatzar has a son, and they both access the mavi. Now, the halacha is that in order to allow carrying in a mavi with a lechi yukura, the mavi needs to be a properly designed mavi. It needs to be a public access route, as the Rashi explains, because when a place is intended and designated for more private use, like a chatzar, that needs to be enclosed properly to provide snius. However, a mavi, which is a publicly accessed alleyway, due to the volume of public traffic, it's not really designated for private use, and therefore you need less enclosure to consider it to be properly enclosed. Alechi v'kira are really just partial, incomplete enclosures, just a little side beam, a cross beam. So in order for a mavi to make use of alechi v'kira, to allow carrying within it through these incomplete mechitzas, it needs to be a publicly accessed mavi, accessed by at least two chatziris. Now, the question here is, the two chatziris are occupied, one by a father, one by a son. Now, halachically speaking, they're not really like two chatziris, because since they don't need to make an eruv, they can transfer freely from one chatzir to the other. So although practically speaking, this mavi is accessed by two chatziris, but halachically, it's not like there are two chatziris here. They're like one and the same entity. So the question is, what do we focus on? When the Chacham established the guidelines that a mavi needs to have two chatziris, is it enough to have the practical presence of two chatzeros, or you need halachic two chatzeros, which in this case you don't have. So that's the question here. Mavi shalhen, their mavi, to which their chatzeros access, nita b'lecha v'kayra, can it be mutter using lecha v'kayra, or you need lecha v'kayra, or perhaps not. Amar le tanisua, so Rav Chizkiya responded, we have a brayse, which will tell us these halachas. Avu b'noy, a rabbi talmidoy, you have a father and a son, or a rabbi and a talmid, bizman she'ein imoyen d'yurin, when there are no other residents where they live, harein ki yechidim, they're considered like individuals. So this pertains to the first question. So when they walk through the outer chatzar, they don't make things aser, because they don't really need an erev, they're considered to be like an individual. It's not like you have several residents here. Father and son, one and the same. Vein tzrichim la'arev, likewise they don't have to make an erev with each other. And finally, umavi shalahen, nitar b'lecha v'kora, the mavi, which they walk through, can use a lecha v'kora because we focus on the practicality of things. The fact is we have two chatzeres, funneling traffic to the mavi, is considered to be a properly configured mavi, which can use a lecha v'kora. So in summary, we learned that if we have people that are mekabli pras, which means they're supported by somebody else. Now we're speaking that there are no other people in this chatzer other than these individuals that are supporting and being supported. Or even if there are other people there and an Erev is required, but the Erev is being placed in their location, meaning they are the hosts of the Erev. So in the case of the father and the son, the Erev is being placed in their father's home. So in any of these cases, the halacha is as follows. When it comes to a father and a son living in a chatz, or a rav and a talmud, there's no need for them to make an erev. They're considered to be one and the same entity. When it comes to husband and wife, a master and a servant, they have machlokes. According to one shita, the ish and the bala don't need an erev, but the evan and the rabbi do. And the other shita holds just the opposite. We also learned that if a person has two designated locations, one where he eats, one where he sleeps, which one is considered to be the mokem dira? Rav says the mokem achila, Shmuel says the mokem of sleeping, but that's only provided that they're both equally designated locations. But if there's a preference to one location over the other, for instance, the shepherds, etc., who sleep out in the field, and it's just out of circumstance they have to come back to eat their food in the city, or in the case of the Bnei Yeshiva, likewise, who consider the place where they lodge out in the field, or out in the Beis Medrash, as their ikum mokem dira, when it comes to Erev Chatzeres, when it comes to establishing their tchum. And likewise, in the case where a person places an Erev Tumen out in the field, although it's merely his food, but that is presumed to be his Ikam Akam Dira, his place of residence, and the Tum is measured from there according to all Shittas. Continues the Mishnah. Chamesh Chatzeres Psuchos Zuluzu. For you, I have five Chatzeres, all open to each other. They have a doorway, one to the other, as we see in the diagram here on the bottom right. Upsuchas l'mavi, and they all have access to the mavi as well. So they're all lined up alongside the mavi. They all have access to the alleyway, and they have access to each other as well. Irvu b'chatzeris v'leinishtatva b'mavi. Let's say they made an irv throughout the chatzeris to allow carrying in the chatzeris, to allow carrying from one chatzer to the other, but they didn't really establish a sheet of mavois to allow carrying in the mavi. So what is that halacha? Mutar mechatzeres, they're allowed to carry in the chatzeres, basurim b'mavi, but not in the mavi, because we're following the shita of Rabbi Meir. You may recall there was machlekes. Rabbanon hold that erev and shitav, one can work for the sake of the other, whereas Rabbi Meir holds, you always need to do both. The halachi in the Mishnah seems to reflect Rabbi Meir's shita. Although they made an erev chatzeres, they need to go and do a shita of mavois on top of that. Continues the Mishnah. Vim nishtat v'b'mavu. If they made a sheet of the mavi, mutar and kan v'kan, this allows them to carry in the alleyway, in the chatzeres as well, and this seems to be a stira to the first halacha. A sheet of suffices, even for the chatzeres? What's going on? Are we following Rameh or are we not? The Gemara discusses. Continues the Mishnah. Erev b'chatzeres nishtatu b'mavi. So the second part of the Mishnah speaks about a case where they did make an erev chatzeres and a sheet of, but somebody forgot. V'shochach echad mechatzer v'la'irev. And one of the chatzer members didn't participate in the Erev Chatzeres, Murtarim Rekan Rekan, they're allowed to carry in the Chatzeres and in the Mavi as well. Now, we really had a difficulty because if we're following Rameir, So once again, why? Why would it be mutter to carry, even though somebody forgot to be mishtatif, to make an Erev Chatzeres? So although they made a sheet of mavois properly, but the Erev Chatzeres was not proper because somebody forgot. The Gemara will discuss this. Concludes the mission in the third part, mi b'nei mavi. So we have an Erev Chatzeres, we have a sheet of mavois, but one of the mavi members forgot to be mishtatif, meaning one of the Chatzeres didn't contribute to the sheet of mavois. Mutar machatzeres, asur b'mavi. So certainly the chatzeres are mutter, but not the mavi. In line with Shittus Rameyah, who requires an Erev Chatzeres and a Shittu Mavois. So the Sefer of the Mishnah seems to be reflecting Rameyah again. Concludes the Mishnah, why is it so important to make a Shittu Mavois? You know why? Shamovi l'chatzeres, because the function of the Mavi versus the courtyards, it services the chatzeres, k'chatzer l'batam, just as the chatzer services the homes. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, four lines from the top. Shamovi l'chatzeres k'chatzer l'batam, explains Rashi. Just as you can't transfer from the homes to the chatzar without an erev. Because the home is personal space. The chatzar is a publicly used area. It's as though you're taking from one type of rishis to the other, which can lead a person to carry from shizech to shiravim. So an erev is required which joins everybody together and it makes it all one mokim, like one resident. It's not like from my rishis to yours. It's all one rishis. So an erev addresses that. Likewise, when it comes to the chatzah, from the chatzah to the mavi, you have the same issue. Kach asa lahitzi min ha-chatzah l'mavi, v'lai shittif. You can't transfer from the chatzah to the mavi without a shittif. V'lai teima, the chiddush here is, don't think to differentiate. V'lai teima d'lai domu, that they're dissimilar. The bayis v'chatzah, when it comes to a house and a chatzah, yeah, there's a need to make an erev. The zur shis ha-yachid. The house is designated for personal use, v'zur shis ha-rab, and the chatzah is a public area. So that's why you require an Erev. But perhaps when it comes to Chatzar and Mavi, they're too similar to each other to create any concern. Both the Chatzar and Mavi are publicly used areas. So perhaps there's no concern transferring from one to the other. Without a Shidduf, comes the mission, tells us no. The Mavi is a more publicly accessed area than the Chatzar, which is designated specifically for these residents, and therefore transferring from the Chatzar to the Mavi resembles transferring one shas to the other, and therefore you need to make a sheet of mavois to connect everybody together, and now it becomes one joint usage area. Continues the Gemara. So the Mishnah began by telling us they need to make a Erev Chatzeres, and on top of that a sheet of mavois. Mani Rabbi Meir, apparently you're following Rabbi Meir's sheet. The Amar being an Erev, being a sheet. You need to make an Erev and a sheet. Okay. Eima Matsiyasa. Let's proceed to the next statement in the Mishnah, which says, if they made a sheet of mavois, mutar and kan rakan, they're allowed to carry in the mavi and the chatzeres. Ason the Rabbanon, this seems to be following Rabbanon, the Amri Bechad HaSagi, who maintain that one is enough, as long as you make a sheet of, which is considered to be, according to the Rabbanon, an all-encompassing union. There's no more need to connect the chatzeres, to make an Erev chatzeres at all. So the Mishnah, which says that sheet of mavois creates that universal allowance, appears to be found in the Rabbanon. Says Mahalakasha. The answer is very simple. V'im nishtatu nami ka'amar. The mission is simply saying that if, in addition to the Erev Chatzeres, they also made a Shittu Mavois, then you're okay. And of course, the Rav Meir requires both. Okay. Eima Sefer. Let's proceed to section 2 of the mission, which says, Irvu b'chatzeres nishtatu b'mavi. If they made Erev Chatzeres and a Shittu Mavois. And what happened? V'shachach echad mibnei chatz b'le'irev. And a chatzer member forgot to participate. Mutarim mekan v'kan. So although the Erev Chatzeres wasn't properly established, that's okay. No harm was done. They can carry in the Chatzeres, and carry in the Mavi. Now let's analyze this. Hey Chidami, what are we speaking here? Either lay battle, if this fellow who forgot to participate in the Erev didn't do bittel, I'm on return. Why are they allowed to transfer in the Chatzeres? It wasn't a properly established Erev. El pshita the bottle. Apparently he was mavat. Okay. That explains the halacha. So although you need to make an Erev and a shittif, and somebody forgot to make an Erev, but he did bittel, which so serves as an alternative to the Erev. If that's the case, ima sefer. Let's proceed to the third clause in the Mishnah, which says, Shachach echad mnevavi v'lo nishtatv. So they made an Erev and a Shittif, and one of the members of the Mavui meaning in this case it's a full chatzer, didn't take part in the shittum of voice. What is the halacha? Mutar b'chatzeres v'shirim b'movi. So certainly they can carry throughout the chatzeres because the erev is valid, but the shittum is invalid and therefore they can't carry the movi. Read the bottle. Now, if you propose that we're speaking that the person who forgot did bittel, so let's assume in this case the chatzer that forgot to do shittuv said, no problem, I'm going to be mevatel. Now, if there was bittel here, am I asurin? Read the bottle, am I asurin? Why would they be us at the carrying in the mavi? Am I asurin be mavi? Says the Ravachit, perhaps you'll say, because Sabra Rav Meir, who's the author of this Mishnah, holds, ain't bittel shus be mavi. You can't do bittul shus in a mavi. Bittul was a provision provided by the Chacham as an alternative to Erev in the Chatzar where you need to carry it. You ikim mokim of carrying mokim shimush. But in a mavi, keep out of the mavi. The Chacham did not apply that leniency there. Perhaps you'll say that. And that's why, in this case, although they want to make bittul, but it doesn't work. And therefore, they can't carry the mavi. Is that the Pshat in the Mishnah? But that's not so. You can make bittul a mavi. For a tani, we learned in a brisa. This is regarding that stuki who lived together in a mavi with Ram Gamliel's family. And Ram Gamliel told his sons, you can carry in the mavi, shari bittul lechem reshusei. Devei Rav Meir. So Rav Meir's narrative of the story was that Ram Gamliel told his sons, you can carry in the mavi because the stuki was mevatel. Bittul helps in a mavi. El pshita lebatul. Apparently, if there's any problem here because of the lack of shittuf, apparently, he was speaking that they didn't do bittul. Umid the sefet lebatul. Now, let's assume if the last case of the Mishnah is speaking where there was no bittul, reishanamid lebatul. The previous case as well, which was where one of the chatzar members forgot to do eruv. The Mishnah tells us that you can still carry throughout the chatzar. Apparently, that also speaking about there was no bittul. Let's assume the Mishnah is consistent. And there was no bittul in this Mishnah at all. How can they carry in the chatzar? So although they did a sheet of mavois, but that doesn't cover for the Erev Chatzeres. Unless that's reflecting Shittas Rabbanan, who say that one or the other is enough. Now, if that's the case, it's going to be really, really difficult. Because, let's remember, the first part of the Mishnah, which requires Erev and Shittav, is who's Shittah? Rav Meir. The final clause of the Mishnah, which tells us that if they did Erev, but Shittav wasn't successful, they can't carry in the Mavi. And that indicates that we're following Shittas Rav Meir as well. That requires Erev and Shittav. So the Reisha of a Sefer Rav Meir. So both those are following Rav Meir. Mitzias Rabbanan, the middle portion of Mishnah, which seems to indicate that as long as you did the Shittav, you're okay. And even if one of the Chatzar members forgot to be Mishtatav in the Erev, you can still carry in the Chatzar. Apparently that's the Rabbanan. That seems to be a bit difficult. That one Mishnah should be split in this way. Says the Gemara Kula Rav Meir. Indeed, the entire Mishnah is reflecting Rav Meir's Shita, who requires Erev and Shittav. So what's left to be explained is the middle case in the Mishnah, where one of the Chatzar members didn't take part in the Erev, and he could still carry. Why? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. V'tama mai Amar Rav Meir bein Erev ubein Shittav. Why? Why indeed did Rav Meir require originally Erev and Shittav? Why can't one work for the other? Why can't we say, well, for instance, if you did shittuf, you mean you meant to include everybody, to encompass everybody in this union. And that includes everybody, all the chatzerim, all the members of the chatzeres. So why is Erev required? So the kids won't forget about the concept of Erev. If you allow only shittuf to take care of the whole concern here, they'll notice the shittuf sitting out in the chatzar, but they'll say, well, how are we carrying in the chatzar? There's no Erev. They won't realize that one can be applied for the other. So we want to keep them mindful of the concept. And that's why Erev is required, even when shittuf was done. It says in one of this case is different. V'hacha, kivan deruba irvu. Since most of the members of the chatzar made an Erev, right? There was only one person who forgot. Loi mishtakha. The Erev, the concept won't be forgotten. They'll say, look, everybody's involved, they're collecting food, so if one person forgot, not so terrible. And that's why, in this case, uniquely in this case, Rameya says, it's okay, even if one forgot to participate in the Erev. Because we have the Shittuf. We have pretty much an Erev. 99% of the Erev is here. Therefore, the Mavi is mutar betiltel, and the chatzeres are mutar betiltel. So technically, according to our mayor, in this case, the shittim of vayis will really cover for the erev, because the erev wasn't properly established. So the partnership created by that shittim includes the chatzeres as well. Generally, he doesn't suffice with that. He requires an erev of the chatzeres for the kids. But the fact that most people took part in the erev, most people contributed in the erev chatzeres, that's enough to address that concern, and therefore the Mishnah tells us that you can carry throughout the entire erev. So in summary, there are three parts of this Mishnah, which apparently is being authored by Reb Meir. The first part says, you need to make an erev and a shittuf to allow carrying the chatzer and the mavi. Part 2 of the Mishnah says, if one of the chatzer members forgot to take part, they can still carry. And the Gemara tells us because most people took part, that's okay. The final halacha of the Mishnah says, if they made an erev and a shittuf, but one of the chatzeres forgot to participate in the mavi, you'll have to carry throughout the chatzeres, but not the mavi, because we're following Reb Meir, who requires an erev and a shittuf as well. In this case, where an entire chatzer neglected to participate, that's not considered to be an adequate arrangement, and therefore it's also to carry in the mavi. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav loitoni psuchas luzu. You meant to know that Rav's girsa, now Mishnah, getting back to the mavi, which was lined with five chatzeres who accessed that mavi. According to our girsa in the Mishnah, not only were they opened and would access the open to and access the mavi, they were actually opened up to each other as well. There was a doorway going from one chatzah to the other. So they had access to each other, aside from access to the mavi. However, says Rabbi Yehuda, you meant to know that Rav had a different version of our Mishnah. Loi toni psuchas luzu. According to his version, the Mishnah did not describe them as being open to each other. They only had access to the mavi, not to each other. V'cheinu Rav Kahana, likewise Rav Kahana said, Rav loi toni psuchas luzu. Rav did not describe them as being open to each other. Igadamri, some say Rav Kahana gufei. Rav Kahana himself had that girsa. Loi toni psuchas luzu. His version of the Mishnah did not describe them as being open to each other. Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef. What's the big deal? My time with the Leitoni Psuchos Lazu. What's wrong with them being open to each other? Why is that so important that they should not have access to each other? So Rav Yosef told him, you know why? Because Savar, because Rav holds, Kol Shituf She'ei Machnisoi Umoitzio Derech Psochem B'movi Lav Shmei Shituf. He holds that in order to establish a Shituf voice, what has to be done is as follows. The members of the various courtyards need to take their food, bring it out into the mavi, run through the mavi, and bring it into the final chatzar, the final destination. So why do they need to walk it out to the mavi and walk through the mavi and bring it to that final destination? In order to indicate, Rashi says, to show, to make a hecker. Look, we're trying to tie everybody together. So basically what they're doing is they're following the route of transfer. This is going to allow them to transfer from the chatzah to the mavi, and then from the mavi to the next chatzah. So by actually bringing their food in this manner, they're indicating that, look, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to tie everybody together, the chatzah to the mavi to the chatzah. And this will be a true indication, it will be a visible demonstration that they're coming to bond together to the shittim of vayis. Therefore, it must be speaking where the chatzeres are not open to each other, because in that case we're concerned perhaps, instead of taking the long route out into the mavi, back into the chatzer, they'll just transfer their food directly from one chatzer to the other till its final destination. That can't be done. So Rav was concerned. He says, if the chatzeres are open to each other, we don't allow a shittuf to take place. The only time a shittuf can be established is if they're exclusively open to the mavi and not to each other. Again, the words in the Gemara, Kasavar, because Rav holds, called shittuf she machnisi, any shittuf which is not brought into the mavi, umetziyoy, and doesn't bring in, doesn't take out from the mavi into the chatzar, derech psachem b'mavi, through the doorways with the mavi, in and out of the mavi, lav shmei shittuf, it's not considered to be a shittuf. So that's why, in order to allow shittuf, like in our mission, apparently, the chatzars will not open to each other. Because otherwise, there's a concern they might actually avoid this procedure. Eisvei. So Abaya responded with a kashmir price. you maintain that this is required. You have to actually carry the food into the mavit, back to the chatzar. We have a halacha which says as follows: Balabayis sheishuta l'shchenov. This is the Mishnah we learned earlier in the Ayin Aleph. If a balabayis had a commercial partnership with his neighbors, let's say a bayayin, a wine partnership with this chatzar, a wine partnership with the other chatzar, ein tzirich l'arev. They no longer need to make a sheet of mavois. This substitutes because they're inherently connected through this partnership. Now, we're assuming that this wine was always here. He never transferred it through the chatzeres to the mavi. The whole procedure wasn't done. We see that's fine. Says the Gemara, how do you know? Hasam de apki v'ayli. Indeed, over there as well. He took the wine out of his chatzer. So although it was a business venture, but he knew he wants to use it for the shutfas. They took it out of the chatzer, the afke, v'ayli, and brought it to the other chatzer, and went through this whole route through the mavi back home. Okay. So he asked him another kash. Eisvei, kase, mishtatim b'mavi. So the Mishnah there speaks about a person who wants to make a mavi on behalf of all the bnei mavi. So he takes a barrel and he is makna to them, and it's his own food. He's not transferring it. He's not taking it through the whole route. So it still works. So it's more some nami there as well. The afki ba'ayli brought it in, and did this procedure. Maskeflo rabba b'chana. So he has the following kash. Ela ma'ata, that's the case. A person is a nice fellow. He's makna to the other members some bread. Pas basale. Are you going to say because he didn't go through his whole procedure? Because the bread was always here and never left his chatzah? So you'll say, yeah. You're right. It's not going to work. If that's the case. Rabbi Yehuda told us the name of Rav. This is Rav himself. So we have a group sitting together, having a joint meal by a host. V'kidesh alein hayoyim. And Shabbos arrived. Hapas shal shulchanam. Soimchim aleim ashum erev. They can use this very bread sitting on the table as an erev chatziris. Because they're experiencing this joint meal. They're sharing the bread together. This can serve as erev chatziris for all these members of the chatzir. It's going to serve as a shittu mavois. Actually, Rabbi said there's no machlekes between the two versions here. Whether it's erev or shittuv, depends where they're sitting. If they're sitting and having their meal in a house, yeah, then that bread can serve as an erev chatzeres, which is meant to be placed in a house. Whereas if they're sitting out in the chatzer, in the open air, that bread cannot serve as an erev chatzeres. Rather, it's going to serve for a shittu mavois. Okay. But at any rate, we see that there's no need to transport the sheet of mavoi's food through the chatzeres, through the mavoi. There's no need. So why then does Rav describe our chatzeres as not having access to each other? Initially, we figured it was to ensure that they don't transfer the food directly from one chatzer to the other, to bring it through the mavoi. But if that's not needed, then why did Rav describe the chatzeres as not being psuchos luzu? Says more, you know why? Because this mavoi, which is going to use the lechi v'kira to allow carrying within it, needs to be accessed by two chatzeres, as we mentioned earlier. And Rav holds that we only consider them to be two chatzeres, two distinct entities, if they have no access to each other. If there are no doorways between them, which allow them to connect to an erev with one another. But if there's a pesach between the chatzeres, which theoretically would allow them to connect through an erev and bypass the mavi, then halachically speaking, we can't refer to those chatzeres as two distinct separate entities. In which case, this mavi is lacking the proper conditioning to allow it to use the lechi v'kira. It doesn't have two chatzeres open to it. And that's why Rav described these chatzeres as not having access to each other, in which case they can't do an erev with one another. And only now do we consider them to be separate entities, and the mavi, which is being accessed by these two chatzeres, can use the lechi v'kira. Says more elatama de Rav. Rav's reason is the kosavar, because he holds a mavoi nita b'lecha v'kira. The only mavoi which can use a lecha v'kira is if it's ad sheyu batim v'chatzeres psuch masoichoi, the two chatzeres with two houses in each, which are accessing the mavoi, then it's a proper mavoi for lecha v'kira. That's why he insisted that these chatzeres don't be open to each other, in which case we consider them as two separate entities, and the mavoi can use a lecha v'kira. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. If somebody is supported by somebody else and living with him in a different house but living in the same chatzah, like a father and a son, a Rebbe and a Talmud, they don't need to make an Erev. Husband and wife, master and servant, Rav Machlekes. Rav says, the makim where you eat is your ikur makim dira. Shmuel says, the place of lodging, but that's if there's no special preference for one over the other. We concluded with a Mishnah that one needs to make an Erev Chatzeres and Shechita Mavois. Now, if they did them both, but one of the members of the Chatzer forgot, that's okay, because as long as most did, that's enough visibility for the children. We concluded with Rav, who described these Chatzeres as not having access to each other, so that they'd be considered two separate entities, and the Mavi now, which is accessed by two Chatzeres, can use a Lechavikar.